So just remembering the meaning of bodhicitta, the wish to become enlightened for the benefit of all beings, the aspiration, the intention, and then engaging in that. So it has two aspects, all beings, not being selective, not just those we like. And becoming completely awakened and purified for their benefit. So the development of bodhicitta is based on equanimity. Losing the distinction we tend to make in our everyday life, that some people matter to us and some don't. Of losing the distinction in our care for them, our ultimate care for them, to become enlightened. Of course we will have family and people we are close to, but not distinguishing them in our purpose, but thinking, may we have equanimity towards them alongside those that we normally don't like, and normally, or those we are perfect strangers, or we bare acquaintances, people we've never met or live in such different circumstances we can't manage, imagine. Of course, there is going to be some people in our lives that we have more connection with and relationship with. But it's creating in the intention to become enlightened for all, it really means all, and that they're all equal in that. So friend, enemy, stranger, these are just categories we might give to people. From their side, they're just beings going about their business. We've all had the experience that somebody we barely knew became a close friend or family member. And we feel very positive and warm towards them. We might have also had the experience that somebody we felt warm and close to, we feel distant and negative towards. Or at least overwhelmed in perhaps some feelings of pain or grief. So it's like they become someone who's a problem for us, even though initially they were someone we loved dearly. And then there's that tricky person that we came across that once we understood them better, those barriers fell away. So in order to generate the mind of enlightenment, we need those barriers to fall away. They're an obstacle, both in our communication with that person, but they're an obstacle to our enlightenment and doing this for the benefit of others. It's an obstacle to our spiritual progress. And it's an obstacle to us being able to benefit them. And then on this basis of equanimity, we stretch our minds to be able to encompass all beings, not just human, but all beings, as just like a mother who has cared for us in this life. And if you have difficulties, and sometimes people do have extreme difficulties of their actual mother of this life, but think more from a different perspective of the parent and their intention towards the child that you've witnessed, or that someone who's given you that care, even if they weren't the actual mother. Don't let these different ideas that we might have generated, perhaps for good reason, but don't let them block us doing this meditation, which is something that really expands our mind to encompass all sentient beings. And because we have been born so many times, we can say that every being has been our mother in this kind, nurturing sense. And if that's a block, then think as if, but don't let it stop your mind opening to the possibility. That all beings have been as kind as a generous and nurturing parent to us in the past. To be a parent takes huge energy, a lot of unselfishness. The small baby that we once were would not have survived if we hadn't had some nurture, if we hadn't been held, if we hadn't been fed, if we hadn't been clothed. We hadn't learnt to talk or read or understand things. So this is the carer or the parental role. And we have to open our minds to the understanding that all beings have been in that role to us. So best if we can think they have actually been in this role because we've been reborn so many times. But if that's a step too far, start with as if they have. We certainly can't prove that they haven't. And it's really powerful if we really think of each and every being as someone who has been a mother. There's a huge possibility in that. This expands our awareness. And it expands our intention towards other beings. If you have the opportunity to witness a mother looking after her baby or small child, you'll often see examples of how unselfish, how generous, how much the mother can put her needs second to the baby's. We'll have to wait till the baby's eaten to have her food, or wait till the baby gets to sleep to sleep. And this goes on well beyond the baby becoming even an adult. So when we recognize the kindness of the mother sentient beings and extend this to all, that all these beings have been kind to me in that way, then it's just natural to think I want to repay that kindness. Just think of a small example in your life. When someone's kind to you, someone, going back to the small cup of tea example, someone gives you a cup of tea with a smile, you're more likely to want to do that to them or the next person that comes along. It's just natural to wish to repay kindness. And based on that natural wish, of course sometimes tiredness or selfishness can get in the way. So we work on it, we extend it, and really extend the wish to repay that kindness. Not to just those who are kind to us in this moment or yesterday, but to all our mother sentient beings. And when we think like this, a natural wish arises to want those mother sentient beings to be happy, to have the causes of happiness. To feel great affection and love towards them. to truly want them to be happy. It's a deep, affectionate love. And not just for a few beings, but for all our mother sentient beings. And certainly if we saw someone that we regard as our mother suffering, about to be in danger, hurting, we would do what we could. It would be again instinctive, natural. The compassion would just arise. And we do it without thinking at first. The example is sometimes given of a mother, your mother, was walking near the edge of the cliff and was blind and was about to fall off. Of course you would reach out and do something. You would do all you could to prevent that situation. So again, with all our mothers, with all sentient beings, we really wish to do all we can to prevent them suffering. So this leads to a universal responsibility. Not to one mother or a few mothers, but all sentient beings. And a responsibility on oneself to take that action that's going to benefit them. In the short term and the long term. This special intention universal wish to take responsibility to lead them from suffering, to place them in happiness. And to reach a state of enlightenment where they can't fall back into danger or sadness, harm. But reach an awakened state beyond creating the causes for negative karma to ripen. So this universal responsibility is generated within us. And in this way we engage in our interactions with others within our life with this special intention, this wish to become fully purified and awakened ourselves, in order that we can bring all Mother sentient beings along with us.
Okay, so it's lunchtime, and we need to be a bit quiet when we go down. It's on the next floor. If you haven't been here before, it's